You're on The Burt Show.
Inconsequential that Jeff really doesn't believe Jesse's story here. That he's a 4 and the girl that he goes out with is like a 15. He asks her out. She says yes. He's shocked by that. They go out. And Jesse returns from the date, and he's like, you know what? She's not everything I thought she was going to be.
He didn't return from the date. At the date, he said.
Let's just be friends.
Let's just be friends.
He told her at the date. He shut it down.
And you didn't think that it was capable for a guy to do that?
I just think it seemed odd that it happened at the first meeting at the fondue house of cheese melted or whatever it was.
Like at the very end of the whole thing, he just sort of says, you know, he's very honest. And yeah, Jesse, how does that conversation go? Because I think this may be a first in the history of men. At the end of the date, you're with Hottie, and how do you begin the conversation that, look, it certainly seems to me that we're better as friends than we would be something else?
Well, basically, it just starts as, so what do you think about me? And then she asks the same thing. And I was just honest with her, and we had the same interest in each other. So
she was sort of lukewarm about the whole thing. You were sensing that, and you're like, you were lukewarm also. So you said, let's just be friends then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I mean, there's really no point in trying to waste any more time.
Okay. You know?
He's trying to find a good girl. He doesn't care about looks, anything else.
That's what he said. He's a good person. You're a good Christian guy. The looks thing's not important to you. The sex thing is not important to you. And that's not what you're interested in. You're interested in a woman with more substance, right?
Exactly.
Okay. That's so hard to believe, Jeff Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Which part?
I just find it, there are a couple places where this story just seems unbelievable to me. So usually in my BSO-meter, like if you've got one thing where I believe, you know, because I've learned to believe things that I never thought would be believable listening to people who call this show. But like, you know, the first time when he says, do you want to study? And then she responds with, do you want to take me on a date? That's kind of unbelievable, but cool.
It could happen, right?
Yeah,
it's possible.
Right. And then, you know, they go to the...
Here's why I believe that part of the story is right, just before you go on, is that he sent us a picture of the 15, and he sent us a picture of himself. And in looking at her, I don't think there's that much of a discrepancy between the two of them.
Right.
So the fact that he was shocked that she said, let's go out on a date, doesn't surprise me that much, because she's not that much better looking of a woman than he is a dude.
Right.
He just perceived it that way,
yes.
You think.
Allow me to propose this hypothesize thing.
Allow myself to
hypothesize myself. I am shocked, and then just adding to the unbelievability in my mind of the whole thing. Did I say that word really slow?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think you might have had a minor stroke.
The fact that they are on the same scale and... she might not be the 15 that we were expecting. Shocks me somewhat that she would have the confidence to say, you want to ask me on a date? Because generally speaking...
well, maybe she's confident who she is.
And then they go to the cheese place and they have, you know, their dinner and everything. And then at the end of that, they have a conversation about the future of the relationship. It just seems very... arranged marriage in Mumbai.
It's an anomaly for sure. But if the story is true, then the story is true. So
cool. You're an anomaly.
I showed you guys her picture yesterday, right?
Right.
Oh, I didn't see this. Let me see.
This is who Jesse thought was a 15.
Awesome.
Okay.
She's a beautiful girl.
And that is who he thought was Jesse for a minute.
Oh, that's why you were shocked at first. You were like, that's Jesse?
Well, Tracy just, I mean, he sent that picture and Tracy didn't want to call him back and go, are you sure this is you? Because you look really feminine.
You look like
really
a woman.
She has like long brown hair. She has glasses on.
She's cute.
Pretty smile. Yeah.
She's cute, you know? So then he sent a picture of himself. And you're how old?
Right now I'm 20.
20 years old.
Right now.
How old were you last year?
That's a strange way to answer
that. Well, I was 19 for part of the year and 20 for the other part.
Okay.
When do you turn 21?
I turned 21 June 12th.
And I'm assuming you're not a drinker.
No. So it's not like really a drinker.
Okay. And this is the picture of Jesse that will go up on our website if you want to take a look at it.
Okay.
All right.
Not.
First, I want to tell you that you're not the 4 that you say that you are.
You're definitely not the 4.
Yeah. I mean, Wendy, if she got a hold of you over a weekend, she could boosh you out so badly.
Boosh.
You'd be the hottest dude in the club, man.
I'll get you some hair gel.
I would actually be entertained to see that, have Wendy give him a boosh over.
Like a makeover, but like boosh style.
That would be fun.
Jesse, would you be up for that?
Sure.
You can go through Wendy. You can go through Wendy's boosh-o-matic.
Okay.
He's not a bad-looking kid, right?
No, he's not at all.
Yeah, so you got to get past that, dude. You got this image thing going on that you're not a good... You're not a four.
Okay.
You're not. You're a decent-looking dude, man.
Well, thank you.
What would you rank him, Bert?
I'd say you're a six-plus, man.
Seven?
Okay.
Six-plus. Close to a seven. Seven is average, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 6+7. Mm-hmm. You're not a four, dude.
6, 7, 7, 5.
Wait till Wendy gets a hold of him.
Yeah.
I know. Put him in some designer jeans. Get you an airbrush tan. Maybe talking like the Jersey Shore.
So what is Jesse all about? You said you're a Christian. You go to church every Sunday?
Oh, yeah. That's guaranteed.
Tell us more about, because we got a whole bunch of emails and calls from women that are like, that's the kind of guy I'm looking for.
Okay, well, what do you guys want to know? I mean... Okay. I'm currently enrolled in college. I'm working on my degree in criminal justice. I tried to get into the military earlier in my life, and that didn't work out due to some medical reasons. Mm-hmm. So I figured I'd do the next best thing and be a police officer.
Cool.
I don't know. I pretty much like everything. There's nothing that I won't at least try to do. Mm-hmm. I like all kinds of movies. I don't know. You guys ask me questions. I'll tell you what you want to know.
What's a typical Friday or Saturday night like for you?
Well, for the past, since February of last year, typical Friday night is sitting at home watching TV.
We don't want that for you.
No. What do you look for in a girl? Like, what are you looking for?
Honesty is the very most important thing, mm-hmm. followed closely by a Christian background, Christian beliefs.
Do you like large boobs or small?
Honestly, I don't really have a preference.
So boobs are irrelevant. You are an anomaly.
You're an ass man, huh?
No, not really.
See? Jeff, He's a nice, respectful boy.
He thinks a little deeper than you do, okay? It's not about the TNA for him. Damn.
It's about the relationship, man.
See? Personality.
You should focus on that. Maybe you'd have a better relationship.
You're not really selling yourself in this huge way that I was hoping that you were going to sell, man. Like, I don't feel like I know anything else about you.
Well, what do you want to know? I mean, I don't really know how to sell myself. You help me out, guys.
You ever had your heart broken?
Yes. Yes.
Tell us about it.
Oh, that was horrible.
What happened?
Aww.
Started going out with this really nice girl who claimed she was a Christian. And that she just was really nice at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Really liked her. And as time progressed, she slowly started to change until she ended up cheating on me with her ex behind my back. So,
do you sometimes get labeled genius. As the too nice guy? Like girls look at you and they put you right into the friend zone?
It's happened before. I try to stay out of the friend zone if possible, but it usually ends up there.
Mm-hmm. I got this email that I got to read later on from a woman that insists that you shouldn't date Christian guys.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I won't have time to cover it right now. She's got a whole list of reasons.
Said that when I forwarded you yesterday?
Yeah we all
she's
got it.
She's crazy.
Well, she's had a bad time with Christian mm-hmm. guys and says, do not do it.
So wow. She's after the Jews? Is that what I mean?
I'm not sure.
Wow.
But I'll read it later on.
I think
on
Jesse
today.
Seems like a sweet guy. I mean, he seems like... I don't want to use the word simple, but he just seems like he's like cool to get along in any sort of situation and ready to roll. And
well, you're single and have kind of pedophilia tendencies these days.
I do not.
Cougar?
Arr. First of all, you cannot be a cougar until you're 40.
That's not true.
Puma?
Yes, it is. Mm-mm. I'm a puma.
Arr.
If that's the case. But I wouldn't date anybody 20.
Jesse, you think you can handle a little hobby?
Jesse is far too young for me.
She's a good Christian girl.
You couldn't keep up with Jen Hobby. I couldn't have this.
She has the. She has so the.
Scary, scary situation.
You'd be so scared.
She keeps two mammoths.
I don't think Jen Hobby could keep up with me.
Oh.
A challenge.
I think you're right. Jen. I think you're right, Jesse.
Hey, Beth, help me out here.
Hey, guys. Listen, we have questions for him. I'm married, so I'm not looking for anyone today, but I have friends that are. And, I mean, they want to know, how tall is he? Is he into sports? I mean, does he have a favorite team? Those are the things that they want to know.
The Saints?
What?
Jesse, do you like sports? Jesse?
Hello?
Jesse, do you like sports?
Do I like sports? Yes, for the most part. I'm not a big sports activist, aside from mountain biking and skateboarding and things like that. I like to try to keep active if possible.
We're going to have to do, so we'll have him write a profile and we'll put it up online.
Cool. Like one of those online dating profiles?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Maybe you can take one. Would you help us with this, Wendy, like the next time you're on eHarmony? Will you just print off one of those applications that I know that you spent a lot of time on?
Let me tell you, Wendy's not an eHarmony girl. She's a Craigslist lady.
Of course. Casual encounters.
So we'll send that to you, and then we'll put it up there with your picture. And if there are women that still want to go out with you, man, then we'll set this thing up for you, dude. Okay?
Sounds great.
Jesse. Have a good weekend watching TV, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
All right. You too, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye. This email that I got from this Burt Show listener said, do not date Christian men no matter what.
That's weird.
Christian guys, I'll read the whole thing later. Christian guys are the pickiest, harshest judges of women I've ever known. As a Christian woman, let me tell you more. My theory is that these men are waiting for this angel that they have in their head. She says, stay away from Christian guys.
Wow.
Whoa.
I'll read it to you guys in a little bit.
Listen, it's the Burt Show. This is The Burt Show.
Everybody's got a really packed schedule, so anytime we can find a shortcut, it's a good thing, because I think everybody's just got really, really busy days all the time. Mm-hmm. I feel like that. Do you guys feel like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Time is precious.
And I always talk to my friends about this, too. I could sleep in another probably 45 minutes if I didn't have to get up and, like, do my hair and put on makeup and all that kind of stuff. Or some of my girlfriends wish they could work out before work in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But women have to like do the blow drying and the getting ready and everything else. Like it's just, there's just more to do.
The same with shopping. Like you don't want to have to try everything on in the store because you don't only have a limited amount of time to spend.
Exactly. So Cosmo has this list of sneaky shortcuts that simplify your life.
Oh, cool.
So there's a bunch of them on this list. There's about 13 of them. I think some of them are... Some are good and some are bad. You tell me what you think.
Okay.
If you think these would actually work for you. They say you have to know if something fits without having to try it on. Kind of what you were talking about with shopping. They say that the circumference of a person's neck is roughly half the width of his or her waist. So if you hold up a pair of pants or a skirt, you can hook your fingers inside of the waistband and pull it and then wrap it around your neck. So how tight or loose it is indicates about how tight or loose it would be around your midsection.
I think that is fascinating.
Really?
Wait, do that one more
time.
Okay,
so if you held up some pants,
right,
and you wrap them around your neck, and if it fits that way, because it's about half, then it would probably fit around your waist.
Okay.
So that saves a bunch of time.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So you could kind of see.
How many people
know,
tonight are going to take their pants off and then go?
Wait a second. Does this really work?
What do you mean tonight? They're doing it in the office right now.
Huh. Okay.
One of those pants off offices.
For women, they say if your boss calls them a last minute meeting and you need to look more pulled together than you were that day, that you should smooth your hair down with a brush or comb and pull it back with a headband or into a low ponytail, because that looks like put together, smooth and professional. And I always forget about a ponytail looking professional. Like I always think that like your hair has to be down and whatever else, but
messy.
Yeah, sleek back ponytail, they say that's the way to go. And also you can brush on some bronzer and some nude lip gloss if you need to pull it together really fast and look good for a meeting that you weren't expecting.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Also, this is the one I don't really agree with. It says speed read a ton of work-related reports, okay?
Right.
This is their Cosmo shortcut. It says read only the opening sentences and then the closing sentences of each paragraph that you have to get through. This is like cheating on it. Study time.
It's a speed reading technique, though.
But I've had, somebody gave me this advice in college also and said do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And they suggested that teachers do the same thing when they're reading your papers. So a roommate of mine tested the theory one time, and in his paper he just wrote Mickey Mouse loves Donald Duck in the middle of the paper somewhere, and thinking that the professor wouldn't catch it. Sure enough, he got it.
He got it.
He nailed it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, he got busted
with
it?
He got busted for it, yeah.
Oh, okay, but he was trying to test out this theory. Uh-huh. But yeah, that is like a speed reading thing, and they're saying you can speed read a ton of work-related topics if you read the first sentence and the last sentence of each paragraph instead of everything in between.
That'd actually be a good paper to write something about, like just see if it works.
Speed read through your speed reading paper?
Yeah.
Hey, Jennifer, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Hey.
So I totally was in the dressing room the other day over the weekend, and I was trying on a pair of jeans, and my husband was there, and so I went outside the dressing room and asked him, you know, what do you think or whatever, and they were kind of tight, so I'm like, oh, I don't know. Well, there was a girl in there. She's like, well, you know how to try on a pair of jeans without having to actually try them on, right? And I said, no. And she told me that trick about doing it around your neck. It totally works.
It does.
And I was floored because I had never heard that before. And I thought, oh, my God, this is so great. I don't ever have to try on pants anymore.
That's
that
awesome.
Pretty cool.
So you take the jeans and the waist and you put it around your neck.
Yes.
And if there's any room there whatsoever?
As if they're buttons, like you button them up as if you're going to, you know, hang
as
them up.
As if they're
forever.
On. Okay. You pull it taut.
Yes. And you take one end, like where your hip would be, and then you take the other end for your other hip, and you wrap it around your neck. And if each hip touches, you know, where your thumbs are, then it works. It,
and they
it'll
fit perfectly if it's
because it says
big.
The circumference of a person's neck is roughly half the width of his or her waist.
That's great.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Save you a ton of time.
That's
definitely
awesome.
We all want to fit into our skinny jeans by the weekend, and the shortcut, they say, is to cut out the salt, because anything with salt in it, loaded with sodium makes you retain water. And so if you cut out anything they say here, like potato chips, any of the processed foods like canned soups or frozen meals. I know a lot of single girls are constantly like warming up, you know, lean cuisines or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Those have tons of sodium in it, so it's going to make you retain water and actually not be able to fit into your skinny jeans. So they say you can drop some water weight quickly and be able to zip your skinny jeans by Saturday night. But as soon as you return to your usual meal plan, just realize that that weight's going to come back on again.
Right.
That's what I'd have a problem with. I like salt.
Ramen. You ever check the ingredients on like ramen noodles?
Good.
Salt, water, and then a little bit of chicken broth.
That's it. There's like 1,400 milligrams of salt.
And the chicken broth
air
is salty.
Salt. It's going to taste so good.
They say you can change the vibe of your living space without spending a lot of time or money, especially if you live in a small place. And I was taught this years ago from a friend who is an interior designer, but it's to hang really large mirrors. And really large mirrors in places where you'll see them and they reflect other portions of a bigger side of the room or the house or the apartment, because it creates the illusion of more space. Hmm. So big mirrors, or instead of buying a lot of artwork, one huge piece of artwork is much better off than getting a whole bunch of different things. So one big piece of artwork or one huge mirror will help you. Let's see. Other sneaky shortcuts, they say, to go from daytime office to evening party ready, make sure you dress in layers.
Yeah, this is what I need.
Layer it all up. And then, like, if you had, like a blazer on over a shirt and some slacks or whatever at work, then you can take the blazer off. And they say to dress it up with, like, a bright colored scarf, or to cruise through, like, the drugstore and get, like, a new pair of, like, really cheapy hoop earrings or whatever you can, that'll help you dress it up for nighttime if you don't have a chance to go home in between the office and going out.
Monty has a trick for shoes.
Oh, good.
Hey, Monty.
Hey.
Good morning.
Joe.
How are you?
Hi, guys.
What's happening?
What's up?
How are you guys?
Good.
Good. Thank you.
Well, I was on the shoes. If you're tired of trying on shoes, you can hold up the shoe to your forearm from your wrist to your elbow.
Mm-hmm.
It should fit your size.
Oh, that's cool.
That is true.
So you never have to put them on your feet. You just put them right up to your forearm.
Do you think just memorizing the size of your shoe?
Well, yeah,
it's different sometimes.
It's different sometimes.
Different designers, different sizes.
Yes. It's not that different.
I'm a half size really different sometimes.
And a half, yeah. A half could change everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the last little sneaky shortcuts to simplify your life, they say if you're applying self-tanner, once you've put it on,
put on the hair dryer on a low setting for like 5 to 10 minutes. It'll dry really quickly and you can get dressed faster.
This is something I always do.
I love
it. Even if you have the can spray that you can spray on really quick, take the blow dryer immediately because it's like that. Like you'll be tan instant.
Because otherwise you have to walk around the house nude for a little while the self-tanner sets in and dries because you don't want to get it on your towels or your clothes. You have to like stand there and wait.
So blow dry your face.
Blow dry your bod.
Anything. Nice. It's awesome.
Nice. It works. I love the shoe one and the waist one.
And because
there's nothing more annoying than having to go in and out of the dressing room over and over and over
again.
It's
the worst.
This is The Burt Show. It's The Burt Show.
All right, it was a couple of days ago that we had intern Lauren on. And the more we talked to Lauren, the more we started to get concerned that, man, she's got like this quote-unquote unhealthy relationship with food. And
it's very perfectly PC.
I think Jen was sort of, saw the red flags in a lot of different things that Lauren had said over the last couple of months.
Yeah, our interns contribute on the air and participate with us. And so they send us topics every week of what's going on in their life. And they participate just like show members do. And it helps them sort of determine what's going to be compelling content. And a lot of the things that Lauren sent had to be workout or food or very image conscious related. And it seemed like it all stemmed from some sort of insecurities going on there. So we asked her to come on and share, and she was very open to do that.
Very impressive.
Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
And took the quiz on the air and that kind of thing. And so what we determined after that was that there's definitely something there. We don't know how far along or what it definitely is with Lauren, but she's admitted that she's got some insecurities when it comes to her body image and sort of some obsessions with working out.
Since we did that with you and you took that quiz, and I don't really recommend that as like the last word for anything, going to the internet for anything, but it was the first one we found and the first one we gave you, and it did indicate that there's some stuff going on there. Have you had any chance to like think over what we were talking about?
I mean, I definitely gave a lot of thought to it, but I think, I don't know, the state that I'm in now, I think I don't really have that much of a problem. I agree that I totally had a disorder back then, but now I feel like I've come, I don't know, I guess I got more smart with it. I don't know. I've like read more about the mishaps you could have with an eating disorder. So I don't know. I guess I have a slight one now, but I don't think it's as much as back then.
Hey, Allison Cross is here, and she works with women and girls with eating disorders at Ridgeview Institute. Mm-hmm. Are there different levels of eating disorders, or if you have a slight eating disorder, then you have a eating disorder?
Right, absolutely. There are lots of levels to it. And I mean, Lauren, you're in good company with 15 million other women out there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the social atmosphere of our culture for women just to be concerned with outer beauty and everything. But with an eating disorder, it's an attempt to diagnose differences of how we act out with food and with our body. And it's just an idea. It's just an attempt. There's a lot of women out there that don't have a full-blown eating disorder, yet they still have very serious issues to deal with. They have a lot of similar obsessions, which is how I got into doing what I do with Project Authentic Beauty.
What is the difference? I mean, what are the definite red flags between you having a problem or a unhealthy relationship with food and you just having a straight-up eating disorder?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with just the obsessions that you have in your daily life and how much of that is taking your life energy. Like, how much time are you putting into this? Are you thinking about what you're going to eat for your next meal all day long?
It feels like when we talk to the women about this, this is all they talk about. This is all any woman thinks about.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
I mean, look at our media and how it all points to outer beauty. I mean, that's what little girls pick up on. Mm-hmm. Even my she's 4 now, but my 3-year-old last year wasn't seeing a lot of women of color that were being identified as beautiful. And at 3 years old, she told me, "Mommy, people with brown skin aren't pretty." And it horrified me because that's not something that we teach in our home.
Right.
So thank God for Princess Tiana that came out.
That's
and now
right.
it's reversed that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a teachable moment for us to go in and say, "No, honey," you know, and for my husband especially to go and identify all diversity of beauty all around us.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is if there are women listening right now and they know that they have this unhealthy relationship with food, which sounds like 90% of women have.
Oh, yeah.
What is the difference between I have to see somebody for my eating disorder or I have to see somebody just for my unhealthy relationship with food?
Well, I think if you feel like you have an issue, then definitely go see somebody. If you are not at peace with food, I mean, normally if you like have a cavity, you go to your dentist, right? You don't think you're going to take extra calcium and it's going to fix itself. No brainer. You go and you talk to somebody about it, because it is the deadliest mental illness that you can possibly have. And if you think about that, there's, you know, the diagnostic manual, it's so huge, and there's all kinds of issues that you can have in there. Yet the eating disorder is the most deadly thing that you can have. And so if you even think that there's an issue, it's worth it to go out there and to see somebody.
What are the signs and symptoms of somebody you may know who have an eating disorder? What are the signs you look for to get them help?
Other than collarbones.
Right.
Other than what?
Okay, some
collarbones that are popping out. Because to me, that's always a clear sign.
Yeah, if
a
woman, you can't
like
really.
Like I said, it's so unnatural.
Right.
As soon as you see that, it's like, oh, something's going on there.
Yeah. Yet people Photoshop that because they feel like that sells magazines to see collarbones like that. Signs and symptoms. Well, you cannot judge a person by how they look.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, and this is a great example, you know, you, Lauren, you were really open and honest about what was going on with you. And, you know, maybe in your own way, that was a way of asking for help, because here we are in a very public way talking about your lifestyle and your obsessions. That's one thing to look for if they're willing to talk about it. If they avoid sitting down and having meals with you, if you feel like they're extra body conscious.
I had a friend who used to always say she had just eaten and talk about how much she had eaten that day before she would come and hang out with the rest of us that were like going to, this was in college, we would all be like going to Chili's or whatever, like our big night out, and we were all going to gorge and have a bunch of food and have fun. And she would always talk about, oh my gosh, this is how much I already ate today. Mm-hmm. And so she would order
so she
nothing.
She doesn't have to order a Chili's.
Mm-hmm.
Ed is so crafty. That's what we call him at Ridgeview. It's Ed, eating
Ed.
Disorder. Yeah, he lies, he manipulates, and, you know, it's actually Ed, I wanted to help you guys understand it just a little bit more, that he's like a best friend in a lot of ways. So it's really, really hard to give him up. He's like the boyfriend that everyone tells you not to date, but yet you kind of protect the relationship anyway. And a lot of times he helps you deal with really uncomfortable feelings and emotions. And a lot of times that's the way you express yourself.
Wow.
Here is Ashley. Good morning. You want to be on The Voice Disguiser? And you are.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. My question is, I'm 28, and I've suffered this from about 11 years. And I was actually at Ridgeview when I was in high school. Great program. They're great there. But my dilemma now is, after, gosh, almost like 8 years of lying dormant, it's come back. And I'm married, and I have two children now. And I've tried to discuss this with my husband, but he doesn't think it's an issue, and he won't go to the support meeting. And he doesn't believe in psychologists and going and telling people about our problem and how talking about our marriage and our children and our life will help me. So my question, I've actually gone to the EDA meetings over at Ridgeview.
Good.
But I feel old. I'm 28 and there's all these 17-year-olds there, and I feel like I have nothing in common. But my question to you is what else can I do? Because we want to have another baby. It's affecting all of that stuff, because I'm not gaining any weight, and it's just, what else can I do other than see a psychologist?
Well, I wonder how much are you acting out? Like you said, it's come back. I'm wondering how much of your life, I mean, really, tell the truth, what's going on at home?
I work out every day. I run about 4 miles a day. I cook for everybody, and then when it's time to eat, I got to do the dishes. I got to clean up the kitchen, and then next thing you know, dinner's over and I'm done. I don't eat. My kids, my 5-year-old eats more than I do.
But it's a symptom of something else, I think is what Allison is saying, is that it's a symptom of, I don't know, maybe you're not happy in your marriage.
Maybe you have a controlling husband.
I don't know. Maybe he likes to live on the surface.
I don't know.
I don't know where they got that from.
Well, I think that you have your answer. It's okay to know that it's come back, because it is an upward spiral, and this is how you've dealt with things in the past, and Ed helped you, and now it feels like maybe he's helping you again, but you know better, and that's why you're calling today.
What does she do, though? If you have somebody in your family that isn't supporting what you know is going on? Mm-hmm. Do you just go anyway? Do you hide it from him that she's getting treatment? What does
Not
she do?
Not at all. Not at all. You are worthy to go in and to get some more help. Seeing somebody once a week, it doesn't sound like that's going to be enough for you right now. You need to go and you need to get the help that you need to get because you are worthy of that time and that space. And, you know, your husband may or may not come along and join you in that, but at least you'll have a team of people behind you, both professional and other sufferers that can stand with you and help you ask for the help that you need and to be assertive.
Does your husband compliment your weight now?
He thinks I'm beautiful. I mean, he's my husband. He's never going to say anything bad. He's never, ever said anything bad. But he doesn't, you know, he's like, you're thin. You look great. He's like, you need to gain some weight. You're getting too skinny. And I'm like, I hear it, yeah. But then I look down and I'm like, oh, God, I got to lose some weight.
Yeah, he's talking to your Ed, and that's why this is not going to help. That's why you need something more right now.
Some what?
Something more. Yeah.
She said that when she goes to the meetings, there's nothing except like 17 and 18-year-olds there.
There's a lot of different ages there, and I encourage you to go anyway. Go anyway because you belong. You are a part of that crowd. You don't need to fit into some kind of stereotype. This is no longer a high school fad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see women who are empty nesters, who are entering into retirement, developing eating disorders for the first time.
Wow. Huh. Lauren, you're awfully quiet.
Oh, I was just going to say, I do agree with her because if somebody tells you that you're really thin, it feeds your ego. So, of course, you're going to be like, oh, wow, I should keep doing what I do and not, you know, not eat and then gain weight. So then he'll be like, oh, wow, you put a few pounds on. Like, it really feeds your ego when someone compliments you. So, of course, you're going to be like, oh, I should keep doing what I do. And
but it doesn't
eat.
Sound like he's complimenting her. He says, you're really thin. You could use
but
a couple
still,
of extra.
But still, when someone told me, oh, you're really thin, then that fed my ego. Like, wow,
and you didn't hear
I
the second
thin.
Part of it?
No,
that
I
you
didn't.
Need to put some pounds on?
No.
Okay.
I was like, no, I don't need to put pounds on.
Right.
I'm thin, so that's fine.
Where can people find more information on Ridgeview?
RidgeviewInstitute.com.
And what's the one thing that, before you get out of here today, you want everybody to know about eating disorders?
I want them to know that there's help available, that this is absolutely preventable, which is what we do through Project Authentic Beauty. And you can learn more about that on bodybeautybravery.com.
Okay, thank you.
Here, Burt Show. The Burt Show.
So intern Reshma is not exactly looking forward to her weekend this weekend.
No, I'm going away with a bunch of friends this weekend to Blue Ridge. And I was really excited because, I haven't taken like a road trip with like just a bunch of girls for a weekend in forever. So she invited me and like sent out like a message and I started looking at everyone that was going. And there's this girl that's going with us that I just do not even want to see. Like,
really?
Yeah, it's one of those people where you every time you see her, she hasn't even done anything to me or even started, but every time I see her, I just get this like feeling in the pit of my stomach and I'm like,
okay, this has to be from somewhere though, right? Like, this doesn't come out of thin air.
I mean, it's not even I don't think it's anything. She's one of our like in our group of friends, but she's not.
How long?
Yeah. How long have I known her?
Yeah.
Almost a year.
Okay.
Almost a year. Yeah, and I see her all the time. She's just one of those people that tries really hard to be friends with everyone and like be a part of our group, which we always welcome her and invite her, but she'll take it like too far. Like we'll go out at night and she will get so drunk that we'll spend the entire night taking care of her. And then we can't say anything to her because we know she'll get emotional and then just start like talking about it. And the next day she'll wake up and act like nothing happened.
Really?
Nothing happened. She's like, oh, that was so much fun, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, we had the worst night because you were here.
What else annoys you about her other than the fact that she's a little heavy-handed on the drinks?
Whenever we go out, it's everything. Every time she starts talking or saying something, I just want to look at her and be like, are you still talking?
Jeff, do you have anybody like that in your life?
You know what?
Well, Jen, thanks for asking.
Yeah. No.
You don't know anybody
Come
like
on.
That?
Mm-mm.
Come on.
Who talks too much and you can't stand
nope.
every time you see them.
I like everybody who's in my world. There is a special kind of person who can live in that environment of self-importance and have no idea that they're that person.
She is that person.
Like, and that in and itself makes me mad to the point where any interaction with that person is annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I could be in traffic and at a red light that's just turning green, and I look over one car, and there's somebody, and there's that person in the car next to me, hypothetically, should there be a person like that in my life. And that person's in the car next to me. As soon as I see him, I'm like, ah, like they haven't even spoken to me. Mm-hmm. They might not even look in my direction. But that is a special kind of annoying. The person who exists in their own mind.
And it's only from an insecurity, right? Like, she's insecure that she's not as close with the rest of the group of friends as everybody else is. She wants in, right? Like, she's desperate to get on the inner circle, but she's not. So she overacts or is like, I don't know, probably
she takes
like...
It's not even with us, though. It's with other people. Because there's, like, a big group of us, but, like, with our immediate group of friends is where she does it. But everyone else I talk to, she's the exact same. But everyone else besides our group of friends has completely X'd her out. So it's almost like we're the leftover, that we're the only last ones that are too nice to say no. Because we know if she says no, she's like, she'll go into one of those, like, oh, I have nothing to do, and my life's horrible, blah, blah, blah.
She's a Debbie Downer.
Yeah. Oh. So it's come to the point where, like, I'm considering not going this weekend, even though I want to go so bad.
How many girls are going?
7.
Is it a constant thing or an alcohol-fueled thing?
Both. Mm.
Is it worse with alcohol?
It's, like, exponentially worse with alcohol. Mm. But she loves her alcohol. Loves, loves, loves.
Maybe you should start loving her alcohol, too. you can just get comfortably numb.
When are you going to make the decision?
I don't
know.
I have to make it today. I have to decide today because we were going to leave tonight, but now we're leaving tomorrow morning.
Well, don't let this one girl ruin your whole weekend. If there's 7 girls there, is she that annoying that she'll be like the focal annoyance of the whole weekend?
The entire weekend.
Like, you can't enjoy the other 6 girls or the other 5 girls and you can't have a good time because she's going to be there yapping, running
I think
her, mouth.
Her annoyingness and the enjoyment of the other 5 girls is like a 60-40. Like, it will be a little bit more fun, but she's that annoying.
If you have, again, coming from planet hypothetical.
Oh, right.
If you have
somebody in your life that talks too much and drives you crazy every time you ever see them.
If there is, hypothetically.
If that were the case.
If that person hypothetically exists. And you're in that.
What if that person sits right next to you in a studio?
if you have that person in your world and you're with a group of 6 people, it is enough to ruin it. It'll destroy.
Really?
Think about it. Think of your trip that you're taking down to the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
What's that, 5 guys?
Yes.
If one of those guys was the person in your world who drove you nuts, never stopped talking, everything was about them, made every, what is one of them, that person?
No, not on this trip.
But like that person exists, that will be enough to make you wonder if you want to spend, I mean, you just drop a couple grand going to the Super Bowl.
Agreed, right.
You're going to wonder, do I want to invest this kind of money to share a hotel room with this clown?
And you're doing everything as a group, and there's really no way to escape.
And it's really like a relaxing weekend, so it's not like we're going out and having fun. It's like we're all going to be in like my friend's parents' cabin the entire time together, like enjoying each other's company.
So when everybody else is sharing stories, she's going to always have something to contribute.
And bring it back to her.
Bring it back around to her.
Or she'll be like really awkwardly silent for like 20 minutes, and then you'll be like, what's wrong? And then you have to go and like cheer up, be like, what's going on?
How's it going?
What can we do to make you feel better?
No, get rid of
her. But we're the only people, and we feel like if we get rid of her and like cut her out of like our final group, she's just going to go in this like downward spiral.
High maintenance girl.
I can't do this. I'm like cringing thinking about it.
Hey, Robbie, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Great. Thank you.
Good. I think this girl needs to look at it from a different point of view besides not being able to talk to her. Picture themselves at a bar, and this girl, the same girl she's talking about, is getting ready to get in a car to drive off, and she is drunk. Would she say something? She needs to picture the same thing.
What?
If y'all are real close friends, you should be able to go to her as a group of friends and say, look, this is, you know, we're having issues, yada, yada, yada. You know, as friends, because you wouldn't let her drive off from a bar drinking now, would you?
I'm not sure what your point is. Yeah, you got me a little confused. Like,
well, she's talking about how annoying she is when she gets drunk, and they're scared to say something because they're going to hurt her feelings, and they don't want to listen to her whine.
He's just saying it's going to help her.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
if you want to actually help her, she might appreciate some honest truth.
No, she won't. People like that can't.
That was what he was trying to say. Yeah. Like, just like she would appreciate it if you stopped her from driving, she might appreciate it if you tell her, hey, you're annoying when you drink.
Oh, she'd make such a dramatic scene out of something like that.
I was
going to
say,
that.
She she's kind of the type of person where she would act like we were all attacking her. Like it was a giant intervention and we were all going to her and being like even if we were just like, oh, you got a little tipsy last night, she'd be like, I don't know why you guys are all attacking me and all this is going on, and bring it like to
oh
her
my gosh.
And take it to like another level.
That's what happened with Snooki on the second episode of Jersey Shore. Remember, she got drunk on the first night only because she was nervous around the new roommates. And then the next day, everybody's kind of looking at her like, oh, my God, who is this freak? And she explained that, look, I drank because I was uncomfortable.
So you need to take this person to a bar so she gets knocked out by some dude, is what I'm hearing Jeff say, if we're following the Jersey Shore storyline.
The Snooki plan is that she gets punched in the face.
Hey, Cody, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Okay, sir. How are you?
Outstanding. I got a feeling that 411 woman from yesterday... I got a feeling she would be that woman in our group.
Yes!
She
was
on my nerve yesterday.
She would.
The 411 woman.
Yeah.
Remember the one from American Idol?
She talked a whole bunch.
Oh, yes.
She's that girl in her group. She's that girl in her group of friends.
Oh, you're right. You know why I don't remember that? Because I blocked it out. It was so bad.
Good luck. So you're going no matter what. It's just how well you handle this whole thing.
It's like 70-30 if I'm going.
Okay, you should go. Don't let one girl ruin the whole. Just go for it.
I know.
Because you know they're going to come back with stories on the weekend that really make the weekend seem way better than it really was, and you're going to be very, very jealous.
Yeah, and I do care for her. I mean, I do want to help her, so I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Go for it. You say don't go, yeah. Jen?
Well, I say that we got to figure out a way to get her not to go and not ruin the whole weekend for everybody.
Maybe we can pay Melissa $100 to go over to her house and cough on her.
Breathe on her.
The Burt Show.